the end of the Cold War presented policymakers in the United States with a whole series of questions about what the US role in the world should be now that its main adversary, the USSR, had collapsed. So for 50 years, the containment of Soviet communism had been one of the key drivers of US foreign policy around the world. Containment provided an organizing principle for US foreign policy, not just in Western Europe, but also in East Asia, in Latin America, and across Africa. US policy in these regions had been driven in no small part by its desire to contain Soviet communism and to prevent the emergence of rival political and economic systems inspired by communism. However, this changed in 1989. Communism collapsed from within and it left the United States as the world's sole superpower. During the Cold War, the world had been what political scientists call bipolar, meaning that there were two competing poles of power in the world, the two superpowers, the United States and the USSR. Now, however, there was only one superpower, the United States. One famous neoconservative commentator, Charles Krauthammer, went so far as to say that the world was now unipolar. Krauthammer claimed that 1989 was America's unipolar moment, meaning that the US was the single pole of power in the world and that it was unconstrained by any rivals. Now, historically, this was an unprecedented position for the US to be in. If we think back to the early 20th century, this was the period when the US became one of the world's major powers alongside other European countries. Then the post-World War II period saw America emerge as a superpower alongside the USSR. But in the post-1989 period, the US was, for the first time, the world's only superpower. So this meant, in theory, that it had unprecedented freedom of action. There was no longer a competing superpower to counterbalance the United States as there had been during the Cold War. So the US no longer had to take account of how the Soviet Union might respond to its actions. So it had this newfound freedom of action. And for American policymakers, the priority in the post-1989 world would be to preserve this advantageous position and to extend America's military, economic, political dominance as far into the future as possible. And this was something on which there would be widespread bipartisan agreement, meaning that both parties, Republicans and Democrats, would agree on this fundamental objective. And to this day, there have been remarkably few disagreements between the two parties about the basic objectives of American foreign policy. And any debate that does exist tends to be about methods rather than about ultimate objectives. So the question is, how do we get where we're going rather than where are we going? And this has been the same since the end of the Cold War, and even arguably throughout the Cold War as well.